You are Locked On Vikings, your daily Minnesota Vikings podcast, part of the Locked On Podcast Network, your team every day.
Welcome in, everybody, to another episode of the Locked On Vikings podcast, part of the Locked On Podcast Network, your team every day. And today on the show is brought to you by Rock Auto. Amazing selection, reliably low prices, all the parts your car will ever need. Visit rockauto.com and tell them the Locked On sent you. As always, I'm your host, your pal, in the KD copied off in math class. My name is Luke Braun. You can find me on Twitter at Luke Braun NFL. You can find the show on Twitter at Locked On Vikings. And on the show today, I'm really excited about this one. We're talking quarterbacks. There are a bunch of quarterbacks in this draft, and there's a non-zero chance that one of them's on the board at 14 or within striking distance where you know, he's at 12 and you can trade up. So let's talk about the idea of these quarterbacks and whether or not we want the Vikings to actually pull the trigger. Are these guys worth it? So before we get into that, though, we got to talk about a little bit of news, some really fun stuff. Andre Patterson got a promotion and some other staff changes happened. The main thing, though, is that the Vikings promoted Andre Patterson to assistant head coach. He's still defensive line coach and he's still co-defensive coordinator. So he now just kind of holds another major title, but it's hard to surmise what that actually changes about like his role and what he's doing and what he's in charge of. It's hard to know without being in that room, right? But it is like a big vote of confidence, right? It's Andre Patterson is now kind of the second in command. He's the guy that would, you know, take over if Mike Zimmer couldn't go to a game or whatever. I would imagine, you know, this is the same title that like Gary Kubiak had. And I mean, if you really wanted to, you could like Rorschach your way into kind of believing whatever you want. Oh, this means, you know, Zimmer's going to be more hands off with the defense and more hands on with the offense. Or, you know, this means that the Vikings are setting him up to be the successor. And this is, you know, a signal that Zimmer's on the hot seat or whatever. You could probably Rorschach your way into believing any of those things. There's no real signal that that's what it is. It's really a vote of confidence in a guy that deserves it. Everybody in the whole universe loves Andre Patterson. There are defensive linemen everywhere that say, you know, like Steven Weatherly just said, a big reason he came back was like he named Andre Patterson. Draft picks come to the Vikings and say, I'm so excited to work with Andre Patterson. Andre Patterson has a track record of pounding the table for a guy in the draft. And then that guy ends up being like Danielle Hunter, or I think Weatherly was one of those guys, and he very much outplayed the pedigree you would usually expect for a seventh round guy. And then of course now he comes back on his kind of second stint. But you know, Andre Patterson has been a hugely positive presence on the Vikings. He's himself is on his second stint with the Vikings. Obviously he was with the Vikings in the 90s and the whole John Randall thing. But then he's come back and he has had a ton of players outplay what they are supposed to play, considering what the Vikings had spent on, you know, guys like Tom Johnson too kind of count toward this. So of course, you know, as a defensive line coach, he's been fantastic. As a co-defensive coordinator, they must be pretty happy with what, with how that worked out. And Mike Zimmer was even asked, he said, oh, you know, the co-defensive coordinator thing, I don't think that was really the problem on defense. And, you know, he's more than happy to tell you about the problems on defense that they had in 2020 and how they didn't have any corners and he couldn't design the defense he wanted to and blah, blah, blah. But this is a vote of confidence in Andre Patterson. And I think it's difficult to read anything into this move, good or bad. And we'll see if that means that, you know, if the 2021 season goes completely belly up and Mike Zimmer is, you know, canned by week seven, does Andre Patterson take over and get a chance to be, you know, the interim head coach and it's an audition for the real job? I think that's a permutation that could happen if this 2020 season goes really, really, really well. So let's talk, however, speaking of next chapters for the Vikings, let's talk about the quarterback position. So this is a little bit inspired by Will Raggetts, who did a mock draft at Sports Illustrated, and Justin Fields fell, and he took Justin Fields. They did a whole mock draft exercise, not unlike the ultimate mock draft thing we're doing at the Locked On Network. More info about that later in the show. And Justin Fields fell to the Vikings at 14, and he said, you know what, screw it, I'm taking him, and, you know, let's turn the page on Kirk Cousins. So we kind of do have to have that conversation, because that scenario, be it Fields or Trey Lance or Mac Jones, is kind of in the cards. That's a non-zero percentage chance, and it's a scenario that we should probably prepare ourselves for and kind of decide without the benefit of hindsight, you know, where do we stand on these guys? There are five quarterbacks who have a shot to be taken in the first round. Those guys are Trevor Lawrence out of Clemson, Zach Wilson out of BYU, Trey Lance out of NDSU, Mac Jones out of Alabama, and Justin Fields out of Ohio State. As for Lawrence and Wilson, I think we can pretty clearly take them out of the conversation here. Those guys are all but inked in at picks 1 and 2, and if they do fall to the Vikings, I think it's pretty obvious the Vikings should probably jump on that, and we can kind of leave it there, and we can, you know, if that sort of situation happens, we'll look into him deeper then. But for now, we can kind of set him to the side and focus on the three that might actually be there. And those guys are Trey Lance out of NDSU, Mac Jones out of Alabama, and Justin Fields out of Ohio State. Those are the guys that, for whatever reason, they could fall. Of course, you know, Mac Jones might fall because he doesn't have a particularly exciting athletic profile. Trey Lance, I mean, he went to NDSU, right? And he played like 19 FCS games. That could definitely scare teams just on the matter of uncertainty and what can you really know about the guy for sure. And then, of course, there's Justin Fields, who could fall for, we'll call them, tired reasons. There are some quote-unquote narratives going on about Justin Fields, which we'll talk about as well, and how teams might actually be lower on him than we maybe think they should be. I'm sure you've heard some of those stories. And of course, because of the way things are going to go for the Vikings in this way, it's really, I think it's likely enough that one of these guys falls, right? That it's worth talking about. It's really unlikely to me that two of them fall. So we're not going to rank these guys against each other. This is not going to be a place where I try to predict how each of these quarterbacks actually turns out in the league. I think that that is ultimately kind of a futile, I mean, it's kind of fun, but it's kind of a futile exercise before we know which teams these guys all go to, and then we can start making better predictions. I mean, think about the idea of what if Sam Darnold was the one who ended up on the Bills and Josh Allen was the one who ended up on the Jets? Would they have turned out a little bit differently, right? The Jets did not do a lot to nurture Darnold at all, and the Bills have now surrounded Josh Allen with a good offensive line and unbelievable weapons. In this pass-heavy offense, this is all this stuff meant to nurture and make Josh Allen good and to cover up his deficiencies and highlight his strength. They've done this really good job. If Sam Darnold was there, we might change that projection, and I think we should. I think very much rightfully so. So this is not me trying to rank these quarterbacks in a general sense, will they or won't they work out in the NFL? This is strictly from a Vikings perspective. Do I want the Vikings to take this guy? And that means a whole bunch of things, right? That means, do I want the Vikings to take this quarterback and replace Kirk Cousins, get rid of Kirk Cousins, and also comes with, you know, saving the cap room, getting off that contract? That's a fairly inefficient thing to have to do, though it's plenty doable. You just have to take a bunch of dead cap or probably not take that good a draft capital once you've already drafted the guy. And then, you know, this is now a future with that quarterback. You probably have to retool the offense a whole bunch for that guy. And so we're asking the question, is all of that stuff worth it if he happens to fall to us at 14? Would we trade down? All of that stuff. So that's going to be the main topic of the show. We're going to talk about all three of these guys, and we're going to kind of come down. I'm going to plant my flag. Do I or don't I want this guy to be the next quarterback of the Vikings? Of course, quarterbacks are big investments and ones you want to make sure that you are all well-equipped to take care of. Not unlike your car. If you have some maintenance you have to do, maybe you're a DIY kind of person, or maybe you just want to get a part so that you can bring it to the mechanic and save a little bit of money, you can do that at rockauto.com. Rock Auto has an unbelievably wide catalog of everything you could possibly need. If the mechanic tells you, hey, you need this part, it needs to be this brand, and you can get that information, you might want to look it up on Rock Auto and see if you can get that exact same part, that exact same brand, not some knockoff or anything like that, but you might be able to save a buck, bring them the part and say, hey, can you install it like this? You can also get accessories. You can get new windshield wiper blades. You can just get oil if you just want to need to change your oil. You can get a new ice scraper. You know, everybody's going to need that, although not this time of year, thank goodness. And you can get it all at a discount because Rock Auto doesn't upsell their retail customers like some of the brick and mortar auto shops do. Everybody pays the same price. So head on over to rockauto.com and in the How You Heard About Us section, let them know that Locked On sent you, because if you don't, I'm going to have to pull an all-nighter selling blood and plasma. Rock Auto, amazing selection, reliably low price. Is all the parts your car will ever need. For all the sports news you need in less time, head on over to the Locked On Today podcast, brought to you by the Odyssey app, that's AUDACY, and hosted by Peter Bukowski. Under 20 minutes every single morning, everything you need to know in the wide, wide world of sports. As for us here, we are going to continue talking about quarterbacks here in this draft. So we're not like ranking them, right? We're just kind of doing a binary for each one. Would you take this guy over Kirk Cousins? And of course, that question comes with a lot of of other factors that are part of the cost and benefit, right? Now you're taking this guy and you've got a quarterback on a rookie contract. You're getting rid of Kirk Cousins. That's probably inefficient, but you're still overall going to save money because you're probably trading him or, you know, letting him walk after 2022 or whatever. And ultimately, and most importantly, you're replacing Kirk Cousins with this quarterback. This guy, if you're drafting him in the first round, is to be the next quarterback of the Vikings. And so my main criteria here is, do I want this guy to be the quarterback over Kirk Cousins? That's the biggest thing. All the cost and benefit and all the extra little things, the salary, the, you know, what picks do you get back for Kirk? All that stuff is window dressing. The real question at large is, do I want this guy to replace Kirk Cousins? And how he replaces Kirk Cousins and kind of what that process looks like is a secondary question to me. So let's begin with the, let's start close to home with Trey Lance, the Minnesota kid. I think he gets a reputation as like a runaround dude because that's like what a lot of his tape looks like, is this like dynamic, you know, he's like Lamar Jacksoning all over the place. But he probably has the biggest like cannon arm in the class. Like, he has a ridiculous arm. He's got a little accuracy issue. I don't think it's debilitating, but I do think it's a negative. And I'm taking that from Derek Klassen's charting at QB Class and his quarterback contextualized big release. I'll link that in the show notes. I am also sourcing from PFF's charting, from Dane Brugler. Most people seem to agree that there is an accuracy issue with Trey Lance, and I think a lot of it comes with throwing on the run. He doesn't adjust very well. That is something that Kirk Cousins does very well, so you'd be getting worse there, and I think you'd just generally be getting worse. He doesn't have the best deep ball, and he'd be getting worse in terms of just ball placement. However, there is a lot that you get better at, right? Because he has a very unchaotic style that looks chaotic. Like with Trey Lance, he's a very safe quarterback. He protects the ball very well, and he can kind of inflict chaos onto the defense without actually being, you know, this total wild card. We have no idea what he's going to do with the ball. He responds very well to improvisational situations. I mean, these are all things that have been super, super frustrating about Kirk Cousins that, you know, that would immediately become strengths. And that's really, really awesome. So you don't have the best ball placement, but you get a little better in improvisational situations. And I would say you get less of the kind of the worst kind of chaos with Trey Lance. And I think you have to also like reconcile with this FCS 19 games of tape thing. I think if you could guarantee me that Trey Lance was the quarterback we saw at NDSU and that would translate one-to-one perfectly into the NFL, I would probably take Trey Lance at 14 if he fell and replace Kirk Cousins with him. But because not only is it FCS competition, right? So watching him romp on guys isn't necessarily as, you know, watching him not throw interceptions, watching him, you know, run around and have all this crazy athleticism. He has that athleticism, and it's not like that athleticism is lying to us, but against FCS competition, it's difficult to kind of, I mean, you have to apply some kind of adjustment to that, right? It's difficult to just take that one for one at face value. There's also a sample size issue here. Only 19 games, that's not much of a college career. And NDSU ran a lot, had a lot of leads, and not only does that warp game situation and, you know, like how defenses are going to play and stuff, and that makes things harder on the defense, but it also just means that there's not going to be a lot of pass reps. So when it comes to Trey Lance, that's a big concern. Is he what we see that he is? And if you think yes, then you're probably more into it. I could be talked into it, but it's really, really close, I think, whether or not I'm down to sacrifice accuracy for a little bit of schoolyard. It's really, really close to me. And I think the kicker is that I can't be 100% certain that I'm getting as good a schoolyard stuff when it comes to NFL defenses. So for me, it's too close because of that uncertainty factor. Now, let's talk about Mac Jones, Michael McCorkle Jones, as it were. He is maybe the most stable, high floor kind of player in this whole thing. And I think that the point of Mac Jones is that he gets rid of it pretty quickly. He's a god at timing. He is, you know, he protects the football as well as you want. He's a pocket passer, but it's not necessarily a bad thing. Tom Brady's a pocket passer too. So it's like Ben Roethlisberger and all these old quarterbacks. And he kind of plays like those guys. I kind of think of him as the point guard in Alabama's offense. Well, you know, you've got LeBron and Kevin Durant on the same team, and you just need a guy to deliver the ball to the superstars, and that's kind of all you need out of him, and that's all Alabama needed out of him. That was kind of their offense, was just get the ball on a slant or on a crosser or something to Jalen Waddle in space and watch him house it for a 70-yard touchdown against lesser men on defense, and that's kind of how Alabama worked. So you have this really, really crazy production, but that production feels a little fake because of the supporting cast, and so you have to make those adjustments. But I think if you look at it in traits, you can kind of bypass that worry about the evaluation, where you have a ton of underneath routes. There's no average depth of target at all. And honestly, his season from a statistical perspective looks like Sam Bradford's in 2016. Like, yeah, he completed everything and he was extremely accurate and he always put the ball where he meant to, but it was always a 6-yard pass. How impressed are we with that? Also, his deep balls leave a lot to be desired. They were complete a lot, but PFF and Derek Klassen and a lot of people that I'm sourcing this information from all kind of say, well, yeah, it was kind of because his wide receivers like come back and get the ball. And Derek Klassen had a really good point about this, was, hey, he plays like every like 40-year-old Hall of Famer in the league right now. Like, he plays like Tom Brady. And, you know, Tom Brady, of course, comping Mac Jones to Tom Brady just one-to-one is not the take here, but it's stylistically. And if you're going to be stylistically that kind of pocket, West Coast, deliver the ball, read the defense, and I'm probably underselling Mac Jones's smarts here. He is very good at figuring out what's going on with the defense pre-snap, adjusting the play accordingly, and kind of getting it to a place where he doesn't have to work very hard to make it a positive play. That's a good thing. And the fact that he then didn't have to work hard to make it a positive play is like an advantage that he earned with a different skill. But to have that style, you have to play as well as Tom Brady and Drew Brees and Ben Roethlisberger. And, you know, can you do that? And if not, you end up being the highest end backup in the league and you're not going to want to take that guy. I mean, if that guy goes third overall to San Francisco, I think we're all, you know, laughing at them. And that's kind of something that I'm out on. If you compare that to Kirk Cousins, for one, Kirk Cousins is a better arm. Jones is plenty accurate until you get past 15 yards. Kirk Cousins is more accurate. He can get those balls to the, you know, across to the field side sideline, you know, 15 yards down the field with zip on it so that a safety can't jump it and pick it off. That's a throw Kirk Cousins can make that I don't trust Mac Jones with very much. And if mobility is your concern with Kirk Cousins, Mac Jones, I think, has worse mobility than Kirk Cousins. Kirk Cousins can scoot okay if he's asked to. He just doesn't really rely on that very much. But I mean, we saw him scramble a few times. He's got decent enough legs. It's just not like his game. And if it were Mac Jones, it would be even less the Vikings game. So I'm a firm no on Mac Jones. If Mac Jones is there on 14, I would much rather go elsewhere with it or trade down or do something else with the pick. I do not want Mac Jones to be the future quarterback of the Vikings. You can actually bet on who the future quarterbacks of all these teams are going to be. You can bet on, you know, picks 1, 2, 3, 1, and 2. Of course, the odds are a little bit crazy, but pick 3, it's kind of even between Mac Jones and Justin Fields. I think Mac Jones is like minus 160. Justin Fields is plus 130 for who is going to go at the third pick in the draft of the San Francisco 49ers. You can find those odds at betonline.ag. If you don't have an account, it's free to set one up and then just deposit whatever you're going to bet. If you enter promo code locked on your first deposit, you get a 50% welcome bonus. That means for every $100 you put in as part of your first deposit, you get $50 on top of that. That's free gambling money. It's my gift to you at betonline.ag, your online sportsbook experts. So one of the coolest things we do at the Locked On Podcast Network every single year is the Ultimate Mock Draft 2021. It is a separate podcast feed this year, so go subscribe to the Ultimate Mock Draft 2021. You can go find that on the Odyssey app, that's Audacy, or wherever you find your favorite shows, and it is a mock draft featuring all of us Locked On hosts, including me, picking for the Vikings at 14, and everybody else picks for their teams, and we have analysis coming in from Michael Irvin, Brian Baldinger, Michael Lombardi. It is an awesome event, and it's going to go on all next week, the 19th to the 26th, leading up to the draft. So go subscribe to that podcast feed. It's the coolest content, some of the coolest stuff to come out of this network all season long. You don't want to miss it. The Ultimate Mock Draft 2021. Now, there's one more quarterback on the list here that I want to talk about, and that is Justin Fields. And he's perhaps the most interesting because there's a lot going on here. For one, and I think I kind of want to open with this because this seems to be the prevailing narrative about Justin Fields, is there's kind of a bunch of dog whistle BS going around, right? There's a bunch of stuff that is the kind of classic black quarterback narrative that feels a little unearned, especially in a lot of places. Like, people's, oh, you know, is he motivated enough? Because he also played baseball. And it's like, oh, Russell Wilson played baseball. Kyler Murray played baseball. That does not, they don't seem to have, like, effort issues, right? And the idea of, like, ascribing an effort issue to a player in college, especially one that played through the 2020 season and didn't opt out, like, I'm not going to question that guy's motivation at all. He's a team captain. All of that stuff just kind of feels like those old tired narratives that I think we can pretty safely set aside and not include in our own evaluation. So let's toss that and let's focus on what's on the field. And what's on the field, I think what stands out is that he is an extremely accurate quarterback. He might have my favorite arm of the quarterback class outside of like Trevor Lawrence. His arm is the major strength of his game. And when your job is to pass the ball, having your arm be the best part of that is like kind of important, right? Like that is the whole job. So that's a great strength. And that's, you know, and he's also a very safe quarterback in that he takes care of the ball. He doesn't do a lot of dumb, chaotic stuff. So that's a really, really big two boxes to check. If you're talking about replacing Kirk Cousins, the biggest thing I'm worried about losing with Kirk Cousins is that accuracy, that arm strength. And so saying, well, you're not going to lose that. Oh, and by the way, you're going to get less weird, chaotic turnover crap where, you know, Kirk Cousins has fumbleitis and there was some dumb turnovers last year. And sometimes he throws stupid interception. Get rid of all that. Okay, now I'm like, really, I'm kind of in on this, right? Now, one of the biggest strengths of Kirk Cousins, and none of these quarterbacks have it, is throw on the run. Being able to twist your body at a weird angle, throw on the run, you know, keep moving, evade whoever is chasing you down on a rollout or whatever, and deliver the ball accurately. None of these guys have it, and Justin Fields doesn't have it either. So you are losing that, but you are getting a lot of really good runaround improvisational ability and this good kind of response to pressure where if the play breaks down, he can still make a 35-yard gain out of it somehow, either by running around and doing the schoolyard, you know, Aaron Rodgers thing, or by just scrambling for it and just getting a bunch of yards because he's quick and he's got legs and he's got athletic ability. That's something that Kirk Cousins does not offer you. So he can run and he'll like take on contact, maybe a little too much contact. And some evaluators have not liked that. They say you shouldn't lower your shoulder, dude, protect your body. But I don't know. I like the gumption of it. You know, I find myself endeared to that sort of quality in a young quarterback. So I think the one we have to talk about is his progressions and how he goes through his progressions. This is one of the dog whistly things. And there've been a couple of really, really good articles written about this. I will link my favorite in the show notes that comes from Ben Solak at the Draft Network who wrote about this. And I think he kind of made it click for me in a way where you can really reconcile what you're hearing from these media outlets, but also understand that it's not a red flag where he's like too much of an idiot to know like quarterback progressions or whatever, which is sometimes how it comes out when it comes from, you know, a nuanced point comes from a scout and then goes through another guy. And then by the time it actually gets reported, it's like Fields can't read the defense. It's like, well, that can't possibly be true. He's a successful Ohio State quarterback. He knows like how the plays work. He's not just like head empty. So here's what I think is going on if you believe Ben Solak about it, and I do. A lot of times you can tell that a route is going to be open when it gets to its spot immediately. You're going to say, oh, they're in, you know, man-to-man defense. That means this crosser over the field is going to be open. And when you realize that, it's okay to stare it down because you know the defense is, you know, the cornerback is going to be taken completely out of it. And the safety's not going, you know, because of the coverage, the safety's not taking this route. And if you understand the defense, you'll know that like, oh, this is like a one-to-one man-to-man thing. And all I got to do is buy time. And this guy's going to get open. And a lot of times Fields would choose that angle and it looks like he's staring it down when in reality, he has kind of diagnosed the whole defense already. And he's figured out that all I got to do is buy time. And so he will buy time. So he gets this reputation for not really knowing what's going on, even though he knows exactly what's going on. And he knows he only needs to pay attention to this one thing. And then he gets a reputation for holding the ball too long. But really, I think of it more as a deliberate choice. You're choosing to aid your wide receivers by giving them more time at the cost of your offensive line by making them block for more time. But when it's Ohio State and you got guys like Wyatt Davis in there and like all kind, I mean, the Ohio State line is the Ohio State line, right? They always have good linemen, and having that protection, you can kind of leverage it more and say, yeah, I'm going to make you guys block for longer. I'm going to give my wide receivers a little bit more time. And yes, that invites pressure, and sometimes the play breaks down because of that, but Justin Fields, like we previously discussed, has the tool set to get over that. Now, there are some times where he does just kind of break down mentally, and that is against certain blitz packages and, you know, tricky tricks that the defense will throw. If they're going to roll the coverage, if they're going to do something post-snap, then his brain breaks down a little bit, and he has a lot more trouble processing that, and that is something that I think isn't necessarily a strength of Kirk Cousins's anyway, so it's not like it's this big thing that you're like giving up on, although I think if you put them up against each other one-to-one, Kirk's probably a little better at this right now, But with the youth of Fields, that's something that maybe he can also get better at too as his career wears on. So all of this is to say, if we were to just kind of line Kirk Cousins and Justin Fields up, you know, trait by trait, I think I'm taking Justin Fields. You know, he's got the arm to justify this. He has the improbability Kirk Cousins doesn't have. Neither of them have the, you know, oh, a blitz came, I'm going to like totally crush it. You know, they're both blitzable quarterbacks. They're not like Drew Brees about this, or Phillip Rivers was another quarterback that was always really, really good at killing the blitz. I think Fields doesn't throw on the run as well, and I think his hold the ball problem is worse than Kirk Cousins' hold the ball problem, but Cousins has his own version of that problem. And it seems like if you want to just kind of do the same things you've been doing, but do them a little better, I think Fields gives you a really good chance to do that. And for that reason, a couple things. A, Justin Fields, prospect of the day. Got to do that every day. So Justin Fields is our prospect of the day. And two, he shoots to the top of my board for the Vikings, right? Because it's a quarterback, right? You're never, ever going to, if there's a quarterback that you like, you're never, ever going to be like, ah, yeah, but a guard. Like, no, take the quarterback. And not only at 14, but I think, I mean, if he's sitting there at 10 or 11 or 12, I mean, I'm wanting to trade up, right? I don't know if it's worth going all the way up to 4, if only because it seems likely enough that he's going to fall further than that. But once it's like pick 8, pick 9, I'm feeling it. And I think maybe going up and turning the page on the Kirk Cousins era in favor of somebody who offers a lot of the same things and a couple more things, that's a move I could really, really, really get behind. Now, listen, I don't think the Vikings are pretty committed to Kirk Cousins. And if I were a betting man, I do not think I would bet that they would take a quarterback, though a few people do disagree with me, and they are people that have been right about this stuff in the past. So maybe I'm wrong, but I don't think that they're going to do it. But if they did, with Justin Fields, I would love it. With Mac Jones, I would hate it. With Trey Lance, I think I disagree, but you could probably talk me out of it. And of course, with Trevor Lawrence and Zach Wilson, if something crazy happens and they fall, I think I'd probably be really on board with those two as well. So there's my quarterback takes. I will see you all tomorrow. We're going to talk maybe about some edge rushers, somebody else in the class. We're really, really into the draft stuff now, so we're going to keep talking about all of this. In the meantime, you can find me on Twitter at Luke Braun NFL, shows on Twitter at Locked On Vikings. And as always, Skull.